Why don't we just pray before I read my text? I'm going to be in Matthew in chapter number 6, if you would like to turn there. But if you will, bow with me for prayer first. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing once again, our Father, on all of our church family and our extended church family. Lord, this situation with Joan's brother that's critical. We pray, God, for Marie's mom and for Serena's mom, and Lord, for others that we know of. And for Billy, Lord, we pray for Brother Bobby Bird, and God, for all of those that we know that are in the hospital currently. And Lord, so many are sick, but God, I'm glad you're the great healer. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly. Lord, we testify with Job that man's days are few and full of trouble. But Lord, I'm glad there's coming a day that, God, we don't have to worry with any of this anymore. It'll be left behind. There'll be no more sickness or sorrow, pain. And Lord, we're looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. But God, do touch. I pray this morning for our dear preacher friend, Brother Tim Saunders, and I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God would bless he and Heather. Thank you for his good spirit, his good heart, that he loves you. He still loves the Lord, and he's not bitter, not charged you foolishly. And God, he just knows that you've got a plan. But God, I pray for that young man, for his family, and I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will bless him. Now, God, help me today. Bless all our friends here in the building. We thank you, our Father, for those who joined us by internet, so many across this nation. We thank you, our Father, for our good friends, Lord, out in Arizona. We pray, God, that you'd be with Brother Derek and his wife who listen to us every week now. We thank you for that. We thank you for Jane and Emerald up in the mountains that join us every service. And God, I pray your blessing on them today. And God, I pray that you just watch over and care for all of our internet audience as well. God, we'll thank you and praise you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have been in for some time now dealing with the Lord's Prayer in the morning services. Let me quickly give you a reminder. We start back this coming Wednesday morning with our morning services. I hope you'll be here. And we'll pick back up with the Lord's Prayer in that morning service. Last time we talked about, give us this day our daily bread. And did he give you daily bread during Thanksgiving and Christmas? How many overbuffeted? I did. Amen. We were blessed. God blessed us so. But then he said, lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you pray about Wednesday morning. Come, we'll start at 11 o'clock. We'll be through at 12. And then we'll have a good fellowship lunch together. So if you've not been coming, it'd be a great time for you to come and be with us back in the Wednesday morning services. And then we look forward to the Lord's blessing tonight, as Brad's already mentioned, the reading of the Revelation. Next Sunday morning, the Olises are going to be with us in the morning service, and they'll sing a few songs in the morning service, and I'll be preaching. And then next Sunday evening, and I know what's going on around us with the sickness and everything, but if you put enough chili in your chili, maybe to counteract all that. So I want to just have a family night. Everybody's been scattered. We've been with our families and everything, but I want to just have in the very beginning of this year a fellowship. So next Sunday night, we'll start a little bit early. We're going to start at 5. But we want to have you to bring your favorite chili if you want to make chili or soup or dessert or some salad. And if you'll help us in that way, and if you don't make chili and you don't make soup, you come on in a hand. It's for everybody, and we'll have plenty. And so we're going to meet in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock. We'll have just a good fellowship meal together. And then what we're going to do, Eric's going to move all of his equipment out here and put it in the fellowship hall. And we're going to have just an old-fashioned sitting around hymn sing. And let you just call out a hymn, and we'll sing a verse or song, maybe one or two. Of every song you want to. They'll probably mix in a few of their songs as we go along. We'll not keep you all night, but it'll be just a good night to fellowship and be together. So we'll look forward to that next Sunday evening as well. In Matthew chapter that I've been talking about, the Sermon on the Mount. And as I began to deal with the Lord's Prayer and look around, I began to realize that, you know, I don't know why, but all these years I never even thought about the fact that the Lord's Prayer was given on the Sermon on the Mount. And then in chapter 5, 6, and 7, he deals with so many things. The Beatitudes is what we primarily think they did on the Mount, but there's so many things, and it's rich, and the more I study it, the bigger it gets. And so I wanted to do a New Year's Eve message, or New Year's Day message, rather, but God laid this on my heart from this passage of Scripture. And you're very familiar with the passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew chapter number 6, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read this verse to you, and then I want to bring a message, and I'll be through by 12. Amen. Just as close as I can. Notice, if you will, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, why did he say that? Why did he say that? Well, let me just go back up a little bit. I could go back and start reading a little bit earlier where he talks about the money and this, that, and the other. But look back up at verse 28, if you will. And he said, well, let me go all the way back to verse number 25. And we will work our way back down. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or for what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now, I'm not preaching on the birds are still singing, but that always blesses me, that thought. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You can't think I want to be tall and be tall. And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ever ask him, and knows what kind of things you got. Now notice verse number 33 again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now you understand, of course, the Lord's not saying we shouldn't make preparation, that we ought not to plan for the future, but he's talking about the idea of worrying about the future. You're living today, and he's given this. My emphasis is on first things first, on the first day of the new year. First things first. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit once again would give anointing, our Father, as I try to share your word. God, I can't do anything without you. God, no one can be blessed or helped or come under conviction or edified in any way except through the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And God, I pray for that anointing. Once again, we do lift up all of our church family that's not here today because of sickness, because of family-related sickness. And God, we pray for all of our friends in the internet who join us now. Now, God, speak to hearts. Lord, we've come to the house of God. We've been blessed by the singing, by the congregational singing, the special. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of giving this morning to worship you with our tithes and offering. And now, God, bless your word, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. People are so concerned about the future and the economy and whether it's up or down and this, that, and the other. Our Lord is speaking here. Sometime when we come to the Sermon on the Mount, several years ago, as I began to get in the ministry and study in the Word of God, I was introduced to something called dispensationalism. That is that God in different times deals with people in certain ways. And I have some friends who get full of the truth of dispensationalism, that they miss blessings. And so consequently, a lot of things in the book of Matthew, they say are not for us in the church age. And one of those things is the Sermon on the Mount. They said that's kingdom material. That's for later down the road. And what blessings we have missed over the years and that people have missed by taking certain scriptures and putting it somewhere else. Now, I do know God is dealing with the Jew. He's dealing with the church, and there are things that are prophetic. I understand that. There are things that relate. But I think one of the problems is that we don't understand a spiritual implication. Here, Lord is challenging us, the first thing today, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you say, well, Brother Billy, we're not Jews. We're not supposed to seek the kingdom. Well, Brother Mitchell pointed out this morning to us that when Jesus came, the prophets of the Old Testament, they all thought that the Messiah, when he came, he was going to be an earthly king. And certainly on the time they were living in at that time, they'd been through a series of all of their history of battles with the dominant nations defeating them and taking them in captivity and so on. They'd been through all of that because of their sin. And even now at that time, when Jesus came, they were under the rule of Rome, and they believed that if Messiah came in their lifetime, that he would overthrow the government of Rome and he would establish his kingdom. And so I'm sure that some of them sitting there that day when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, they're thinking about an earthly kingdom. But I want to remind you what the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, and he's reminding them what the Lord had taught, and that is in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, and it says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, the kingdom he's talking about me and you seeking is not his earthly rule. Is he going to rule over the earth? Yes, in the millennial reign of Christ, he'll rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Is he still God? Is he still sovereign? Is he in control of all the things going on in this world and nothing happens without his permissive will or his directed will? Absolutely. He's still king. He's still on the throne. He's not going to be king down the road. He's king now. He's God now. He's in control of everything now. And everything comes in my life and everything comes in your life. He said this, all things work together for good to them that are called of God, those who are called according to His purpose. God works all things, even the bad things, for good. This morning in my journal, when I was writing the first entry for the new year, as I began to think and thank God, I began to thank Him for His mercy and grace. And then it moved in my heart. I said, God, thank you for the bad times in 2022. And thank you for the sickness in 2022. I don't understand all of that, but I do know that God has accomplished purposes in all that. I don't understand it. You don't understand, but one day we will. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's not talking about an earthly kingdom. He's talking about Christ ruling and reigning in our life. Back in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11, David admonished his people when they brought the ark back, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Now that's what he's talking about. The kingdom of our Lord is not meat and drink. It's not materialistic, but it is spiritual. And he said the kingdom of God is peace and joy and strength. And it comes from Him. How does it come from Him? Well, he says in this passage of Scripture, you ought to do this thing, first things first, before anything else. What should be my priority for 2023? Am I going to have I'm going to lose weight, or am I going to finish my education, or am I going to get a better job? What is your New Year's resolution? My New Year's resolution ought to be, and yours ought to be, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not talking about an earthly kingdom. He's talking about a relationship with Him that would bring joy and peace. And then he said, and all these things will be added unto you. My first priority, the first thing first is that I ought to seek the Lord and His righteousness. Notice it said, seek the kingdom of God. And Paul emphasizes to seek the Lord. And David emphasizes to seek the Lord. You and I are to seek the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul. What should we reap? We ought to seek, first of all, His reign in our life. That is, that He would be Lord of our lives. Paul said that Jesus Christ is Lord. The book of Revelation says that every knee will bow because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He already is. But He ought to be Lord of our life. And so if I'm going to be blessed, if I'm going to have joy and peace, He's got to rule in my life. The Lord Jesus Christ has to come and rule in me. And He said this, you seek Him. Seek Him. How do I seek the Lord? The Bible said we ought to set our affections on things which are above. David said to his people, he said, seek the Lord, His strength, and His strength, and seek His face continually. We ought to seek the Lord, first of all, in worship. Brother Mitchell mentioned worship to us. We ought to seek Him with setting our affection on Him, worshiping Him, magnifying Him, praising Him. Start our day and through the day, just worship the Lord. Just magnify Him. Think about the goodness of God, and you seek Him when you set your mind on Him. You say, Brother Billy, what do you mean? The Bible says we can have every thought brought into the captivity of Christ. And He said we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul. I ought to worship Him. He's been good to me. He saved me, forgave me of all of my sin. I'm gonna look to Him. I'm gonna worship Him. I'm gonna worship Him in praise. I'm gonna worship Him in adoration. I'm gonna worship Him in prayer. I'm gonna worship Him in my giving. My priority in 2023 is to seek the kingdom of God. That is His person, to have Him to rule in my life. What does it bring into my life if I rule? Well, it will bring, first of all, it'll bring harmony. He said you ought to be reconciled to God. God has a plan, and His plan doesn't change. It's an ongoing thing. And if you get in, you know, down at the beach when people get caught in a riptide, the ones that get in real trouble are those who fight against it. I mean, they're struggling, trying to fight against that riptide. And I've never been there, thank the Lord. But if you ever get in a riptide, they tell me is you don't fight it. You go with it. You go with it, and it eventually brings you to the shore. But see, what happens is God's got a plan for your life and my life. He's ruling and reigning. And so it's kind of like that riptide. And when we struggle and we try to get out of His will and we try to do it our own way, it's a hopeless battle. But when you will align yourself, let His thoughts be your thoughts, let His ways be your ways. In all your ways you'll acknowledge Him and let Him be Lord of your life. Man, listen, it will bring harmony to your life. It'll bring peace. And it not only bring harmony, but it'll bring holiness. If you and I live right, holiness is not a word Baptists like to use a whole lot, but it means that we're God-like. It means that we're close to the Lord. It means that we don't have anything in our life that would hinder our prayer life. He said, my arm's not short that I can't see. My ear's not deaf that I can't hear. My eye's not blind that I can't see. But your sin is separated between you and your God. If I seek Him with all of my heart, I'm going to be right with Him. I'm going to have harmony in my life, but I'll have holiness in my life. That is, I won't want anything in my life to keep Him from having right place in my heart and life. And that will produce in me a Christ-likeness. They called the Christians first at Antioch. They were mocking them, they tell me. They were saying they're like little Christ. They live like Christ, and they act like Christ, and they think like Christ. And that's what holiness is. It is having the person of Christ inside of you in such a way, like Paul said, the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live Christ in me, not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. And if I have Him in me, and if He's Lord of my life, I'll have not only harmony in my life, but I will have holiness in my life. I'll live right. And now, sometimes we equate holiness with what we don't do. You know, they don't drink, they don't chew, and they don't go with folks who do. That's holiness. But no, holiness is being Christ-likeness. That means we not only don't do those wicked things that would hinder us and rob us of our peace and joy, but we obey Him, and out of that comes other things. Out of that, we preached on Wednesday night about mercy. Out of that will come a heart of tenderness. If you are a holy person, you have a tender heart. Now, the Pharisees, now look at the Pharisees. Boy, they were strict, and they were going to do everything by the letter of the law, and they added the traditions of men to it. They had all the rules and regulations about holiness, but in their heart, they were bitter. Jesus Christ said they were like a whited sepulcher. They were full of dead men's bones. They had no real compassion. But if you have holiness, you have a compassionate, you show mercy and you show love, and you live that life like Christ lived. You care about people. You're not always focused on yourself and about this and that and the other, but you've got a heart for people. You want to see people helped and see people blessed. It affects your speech. It affects how you talk to people, how you approach them, and how you love them and care about them. My dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God in us produces holiness. It means it makes us like Christ. Christ loved sinners. He loved the needs. He was moved with compassion over them. He wept over them. He ministered to them. He fed them. He took care of them. And that's what real holiness is. And that's what we ought to seek. Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Christ this coming year. I want Him to rule and reign in my life, in my body, and in my soul, and in my spirit. I want Him to do all that in my life. But not only should I seek His reign in my life, but I should seek His righteousness in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We ought to seek His righteousness. That is the rightness of Christ in us. None of us live good enough to go to heaven. That's not even it's not even in the book anywhere. We're all sinners. The Bible said that God hath concluded all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how do you get saved? You get saved because of His righteousness. When you trust Him as your Savior and Lord, He comes into your heart and life. And God is not looking at you, He's looking at His Son. When you accept Christ, it's His righteousness. And we want His righteousness in our life. We want Him to rule and reign in our life. But here's what if we have His righteousness in us, if we're walking in and we trust in His righteousness and we're not trying to struggle and be good enough and prove ourselves as a Christian, if we just love Him and worship Him and follow Him and His righteousness be manifest in us, it is a sure cure for worry. You won't be worried and anxious all the time. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? And why ain't I doing this? And why am I like this? But I'm just trusting Him. I have faith in Him and I'm trusting His righteousness, and it cures us of worry if we'll do that. Christ in us, His righteousness in us. But not only must I seek His rule and His reign over me, but I need to seek His righteousness, that His righteousness would be manifest in me. But then I need to seek His resources. He said this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you." God's going to provide every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And if you didn't get to come to the morning services, that simple prayer reveals so many things. Number one, it reveals our total dependency on Him. The very basic of life, bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We're acknowledging to Him that every basic need comes from Him. He's the source of all of our need. He gives us everything. And He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, He'll add all that to you. And you can't make people understand that. You think, if I'm a Christian, man, I got to give up so many things. No, you get so many things. You enjoy so many things. You'll bless, you'll see the hand of God, the mercy of God. And listen, He said this, you seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. He'll do that. If you'll seek Him, He'll give you all of those needs, and thank the Lord for that. He's able to do that. He's able to give you everything, every need, and more. He'll give you all that you need. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, He talks about faith, and He said that you and I are to seek the Lord and to walk in faith. And He makes this statement, and it says that He won't be a debtor to anybody. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you're seeking Him, He'll bless you. He knows your heart. He knows why you come to church. He knows why you read your Bible. If you have an earnest desire to be in fellowship with Him, if you have an earnest desire for Him to be just as real to you as your husband or your wife or your friend, that He'll be part of your life. And your attitude is always on Him. Lord, I need your help. God, I can't do this. Give me wisdom. I love you. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to be looking to Him for my direction. And Lord, you know this. I'm so thankful. Not only do I make requests, but I'm careful to give thanksgiving and learn to give thanksgiving before you ever get it. And that's a real blessing. My dear friend, You ought to seek His reign in you, and you ought to seek His righteousness, and you ought to seek His resources. He'll give you those things. If you honor Him, He'll honor you. Now, if you'll seek this, if you'll do this, if you'll seek the Lord, if you'll do that, my dear friend, if you accept His rule over you, if you acknowledge His righteousness, then, my dear friend, you can appropriate His resources. He's made a promise. If you seek Him, if you honor Him, then He's going to do that. I read a little illustration during the week of a dear lady, and Lord, as I began to read it, I said, boy, God had to be with her. Her husband died and left her with 6 children, and she raised those children, and that's an amazing thing. And of course, this was some years back, but she raised all 6 of those children. But in the process of time, she adopted 12 more children, 18 children she raised by herself. They all grew up to be good citizens. They all had education. They all knew the Lord. They all ended up with good jobs. They did a big article about her. What a phenomenal thing. And they talked to her. And they said, how in the world were you able to do this and not go slam crazy? She said, I was in partnership with somebody. And they said, who were you in partnership with? And she said, with the Lord. She said, He told me He'd meet all of my needs. And I told Him a long time ago, Lord, I'll do the work if You'll do the worrying. And that's the way this has worked. I have enjoyed every day of my life, and I've never worried about taking care of these children, or feeding them, what we were going to put clothes on them. She said, I've sought Him, worshiped Him, and He's blessed me, and He showed Himself to be God, that I did the work and let Him do the worrying. You don't need to do. That's what He's talking about here in the book of Matthew. You don't worry about all that. You don't worry about your clothes, your food. Do you have to have clothes? Yes. Do you have to have food? Yes. Should you take care of your family? Absolutely. But not worry about it. Just trust God for it. And God's going to meet that need. We need to seek Him and trust Him. Let me show you 2 other things. I'm not going to preach on them, but it's in the same book, in the same Sermon on the Mount. Look with you, please, if you will, in chapter number 5, chapter 5. Seek ye first. What? First things first. First, seek the kingdom of God. And here's another thing in chapter number 5, and look at verse number 24. And he said this. Well, let me read verse 23 so you understand where we are. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. First things first. He said, you ought to make sure you can't be right with God if you're wrong with people. And that's true at home. Husbands and wives, if they're crossed up and everybody has misunderstandings and loud discussions sometimes, but if you've got bitterness in your heart toward your mate, you can't get right with God. If you have bitterness about people in your family, you can't get right with God like you ought to. It's going to be a hindrance to you. If you have people at work or in your neighborhood or wherever, and you've got something, there's something between you and them, then you can't be right with God. And he said, before you come to worship and want a right relationship with me, you get a right relationship with people. Now you say, Brother Billy, I've got so-and-so and so-and-so and so, and they've done this and done that and the other. Okay? And that's okay. But now here's the thing. You've got to try to approach them. If you need to apologize, you apologize. Whatever your part is, you do. It's up to them what they accept. And so he didn't say you got to make your brother or this person accept your apology or get right with you. But he said you got to have an attitude of your heart where you don't have bitterness. You don't have hatred. And he talks about earlier about calling them a fool or having anger at them. If you harbor anger in your heart against somebody, and the Bible said we need to forgive them for Christ's sake. You say, Brother Billy, they don't deserve forgiving. I know that in so many cases. But he said, you forgive them for Christ's sake. Because of your relationship with Christ, and because you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve grace. They don't deserve it, but you forgive them. You can't change them. You can't make them accept your apology. You can't make them accept or do whatever you need to do. But you do your part to where you don't have any bitterness. And you don't have, as far as you know, there's not one thing between your soul and the Savior, but not one thing between you and anybody on this earth. As best you can, you've taken care of it. And you do that. That's first. First, I won't spend time belaboring that. That's pretty simple. But you got to have a right relationship with people. I go preach revivals and go in churches, and I can tell in just a short time, there's this group and that group. They are about half mad at one another. You know what the Bible said on the day of Pentecost? They all came together, and the Spirit of God fell and anointed them. 3,000 people got saved one day. But a key word in that passage of Scripture is this, and they were all in one accord. That was a right relationship. My dear friend, if you're going to be right with God, you got to get right with people. You got something against your mama, your daddy. And I have had, as a pastor, I've run across some, in my family even, I've run across things that it's hard to imagine, you know. You know, situations where people are so, I mean, they won't even go to the funeral of a family member and things like that. You got to have a right relationship. And you can't get right with God unless you're right with people. And that's what he's saying. First thing, you do your part. They might not accept your apology. They might not be reconciled to you, but you don't have anything in your heart, any animosity, any hatred, any wickedness, any jealousy. You get all of that out. Then you can worship God. First, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is peace and joy. And if you can think about any individual and you don't have peace, that as far as you know, you've done everything you can, and you don't hold a grudge, you're not bitter at them, you're not angry with them anymore. If you have that, you'll have peace, you'll have joy. You've got to release it. You got to just turn it over to God and let Him have it. First, he said, you be reconciled to your brother. Turn over to chapter number 7. And I want to begin reading verse number 1 in chapter 7. And he said this, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, and cast out the beam in thy brother's eye. The contrast is this, and you understand what a beam is. The mote is just a small little speck of dust. Just a little something. You see a fellow's got a little something in his eye. What he's talking about is this. It's people, we look at people in church, look at people around us, and we see every fault they've got. And so we spend our time focused on their problem, on their, they got this. Farrell Osborne said, came to him in church. He said, one of his church members came and tell him about another church member, tell on him. He said, Pastor, did you know that so-and-so smokes? He said, yes, but he don't gossip. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get so focused on everybody else's sin and their problems that we forget what we are. He said this, when you go to reconcile a brother, you consider your own self, but for the grace of God, you'd be there. It has to do with this idea. People say, well, I can be a fruit inspector. I most of the time when I hear that, it kind of makes rings this bell. I want to judge them anyhow. I'm going to find a verse that'll fit. Have I got problems? Yes. Have you got problems? Yes. Do we fail in so many areas? Yes. Is there something in our life? Should we love them enough to be kind, love them enough to go in compassion and share with them? But he's saying this. He said, you want to do this. You want to be reminded always that you're not perfect yourself. You've got a beam in your eye. You got some things in your eye. And he said, first you get that out. You don't have anything in your heart and life. I think about that story about the woman taken in adultery, and Jesus wrote and was saying whatever he wrote. But he said this, "Let he that's without sin cast the first stone." They all walked away. You need to be right with your brother. You can't be right with people and wrong with God, but you can't be critical and judgmental of everybody about every little thing and be right with God either. Do we need compassion? If we see a brother who's overtaken in a fault, somebody's in trouble, somebody's doing things that would hinder them or hurt them spiritually, we have a spiritual responsibility to go to them in love and share the Word of God, pray with them. But we want to make sure that we don't have something going on in our life. I was witnessing to a fellow named Raymond White when I was working in the cotton mill, and the Lord had blessed me and Regina, and we had been in church, but God really did a work in our heart and life during the illness of our little girl. And I realized I had not been reading my Bible, and of course, like I ought to, so I got to reading the Bible. Instead of when we go to break and canteen, everybody sitting around and doing everything else, and all they were, all kind of dirty jokes and everything else. And so I started trying to read my Bible, my little New Testament, and get away from that if I could. I tried to be friends with everybody. But I had this guy named Raymond White. He's in heaven right now, but his wife was saved. He wasn't saved. And I'd been witnessing to him. And you'll understand where I'm coming from. But I was talking to him one day about Raymond. I said, "Man, listen, I want you to, you know how much I love you and want you to get saved and I'm praying for you." He said, "Let me ask you something." He said, "You said you got right with God." I said, "Yeah." I said, "God's really blessed me." And he said, "You said he's meeting all your needs." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "He is. He's God's grace." And he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Why have you still got cigarettes in your pocket?" I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. He said, "If he's meeting all your needs, what does that cigarette do to meet any kind of need you got? Does it calm your nerves? I thought you said he was you had the peace of God. Does it help you with your health?" I stood there. And I didn't even try to correct him. I said, "You're exactly right." And from then on, I started putting my New Testament in my pocket and took cigarettes out. Does that mean that you're not right with God if you smoke cigarettes? No. If you chew tobacco, is that wrong? No. And old Billy Kelly, you'd have to know Billy Kelly. He's an evangelist, funny man, great preaching and everything. But somebody asked him about, "Do you think it's wrong to smoke cigarettes?" He said, "I sure do." And they said, "Why?" He said, "Because I hate to burn up something that tastes so good when you chew it." But that's Billy Kelly. You'd have to know him. First, seek ye kingdom of God. First thing this year, I'm going to seek Him, His righteousness. First, I want to be reconciled, not anything between my soul and the Savior. If a church is going to have revival, they got to be right with one another. Got to have right. And then lastly, I don't want to be so judgmental and critical that all I'm doing is looking for faults and criticizing everybody else when I've got my own faults. That's what he's talking about. You want to help people, want to be a blessing, not point out their thing and not doing a thing for them. You have your Bible open. Look with me, please, in this chapter 7 where I've just read to you. Come down to the end of the chapter. He's given all these things. There's so many things. He's talked about being light, talked about being salt, all those things we've talked about before. But now come with me and look with me, please, at verse number 24. Therefore, he's given a whole 3 chapters just about. And now it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. What he's saying is this: these things I've shared with you, they work. They make a difference. My kingdom is peace and joy and strength in the Holy Ghost. That's my kingdom. And if you will obey and do what I tell you to do, that is to these things, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, if you'll be reconciled to your brethren, if you'll not be judgmental of everybody and consider your own self and share grace and mercy in the gospel, you'll have joy and peace and strength. He said, you'll be like a man who builds a house on a rock. And when the storms come, you'll be able to stand. But if you don't, when the storms come, you're going to crash. That's what it's all about. So what's the Bible all about? What's getting right with God about? Getting saved all about? It's all about God wanting you to have the best. He wants you to have the best. He wants you to have the best strength and the best joy and the best peace. And how do you do that? You get by knowing Christ, first of all. You've got to know beyond any shadow of doubt you're saved. Then you ought to seek His kingdom, that is, to be like Him and for Him to rule in your life and His righteousness to be manifest in your life and trust in all of His resources and not ever worry about anything, but know God's going to take care of you. He'll give you that peace. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I have intentionally this morning tried to be just very pointed and take my time and let you hear. And Jesus said, therefore, if a man will hear my words and do them, I will liken him to a man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, and the winds came, descended upon the house. But the house stood because it was built upon a rock. If you'll do what God said, you'll have a great 2023. If you want to have joy and peace and strength, you'll seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You'll set your heart in worship, in reading the Word of God, in living out the truth of the Scriptures. You'll be as much as you can right with every family member, with every church member, with everything, not have any jealousy, bitterness, anger, get all of that out of you, and not have a judgmental, critical attitude all the time. God will bless you in this coming year. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. James said, we ought to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. And so right now, you can't do everything I've said this morning, but you can set your heart that way. And you can make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I want to seek You in 2023. I want to seek Your kingdom. I want to seek Your face. I want to seek Your strength. Lord, I'm going to give myself to You. God, help me to have every thought brought into captivity of Christ. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to fellowship with You. I want in all my ways to acknowledge You and let You direct my path. I know, our Father, if I'll do that, I'll have peace and joy and strength throughout this coming year. Lord, You know I'm human. We all have a human body. And You consider our frame that we're but dust. Lord, I can't even do those things without You. But Lord, as best I know how today, I'm going to present my body once again as a living sacrifice for this coming year. Lord, I want to be used. I want to be a blessing. I want to see people saved. I want all of my family to come to know Christ. Before this year is out, Lord, I want to have done all I can to honor You. Lord, I trust You. Lord, help me not to have anything against my brother or my sister, any family member, church family. God, please remove far from me all bitterness and anger, an unforgiving spirit, jealousy. God, purge my mind and heart, clear me. God, help me to release them from guilt. Lord, You do that. You did that on the cross when You said to those who had crucified You, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God, help us to have a joy and peace like that. God, I pray, God, that You'd help us. Help us, our Father, not to be judgmental. Lord, to look at people and consider that we have a beam in our own eye. God, help us to want to be a blessing, edify one another, encourage one another, in some cases rebuke with the Word of God and with love and with a heart of kindness. Love them if they're doing things that are wrong, that don't honor You. But God, we want to make that commitment this morning. And I pray, God, You'd do that. Now, while we're praying, dear friends, if there's a person here in the building or media audience that's not saved, He said, if you'll call on Me, I'll answer you. He didn't come to this world, clothe himself in a human body, be brutalized, be crucified, buried, rose again, not to save you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants to save you. And if you're lost today and you die and go to hell today, it's because you would not come to him that you might have life. Will you come to him? Would you trust him right now, right where you are in this building or the internet audience? Call on him.